blessed out of my mind to be the pastor here. I'm enjoying the summer and the close of the summer as we're kind of returning back to the normal rhythms of our life. It's kind of fun to experience those changes like that. And we've been enjoying a series, at least I have, maybe you haven't. I can't speak for everybody, what it looks like to be devoted people. And we've defined devotion as the convictions of our heart being expressed through our behavior. The thing that we devote ourselves to is the thing we arrange our lives around then. So as we have been going through these last several weeks, we've been asking ourselves, what are the things that we arrange our lives around? When you think about that, you know, what do we pour our thought life into, the time we have, where we spend our money, where do we find ourselves, the places that we connect with, the people we connect with? How do we arrange our lives around these things? We've got quite a list brewing, if you want to go to the next slide. This idea that the things that we ought to be arranging our lives around are rooted in the sense that there is a heavenly kingdom, that there is a kingdom of heaven, and that kingdom has culture, that kingdom has values, that kingdom has ways of being and living together, and that, those cultures, that culture, those values, that way of living life informs us on how to live ours, what to arrange our lives around. So we talked about being devoted to our family, how to be present, not just present physically, but present emotionally, present relationally, present spiritually with our family, and how all of that's really hard with how life moves, how fast it moves, and all the things that compete for our attention. But because of God's love, but because of His presence, it enables us to be present with our family. We also talked about being devoted to community and what it looked like to be a team, what it looked like to be citizens of the good news, what it looks like to be striving together to learn the way of Jesus, to live the way of Jesus together with Jesus. This idea of arranging our lives around the practices and behaviors that are consistent with that idea of community in the kingdom of heaven. We kept going. We dug into the idea of what it meant to be devoted to freedom. Oh man, it's so tough sometimes to think through this because most of our lives are just bound up with different rules. Do this, don't do that. If you want to be successful, if you want to be a part of this, if you want to be in, not out, you got to be this way. The beautiful thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the beautiful thing about the work of Jesus in creation is that it sets us free from being a slave to those rules. We're in no matter what we do or don't do, according to the gospel. We now have freedom to choose what we do or don't do, what we think or don't think, what we say or don't say, based on the love of God in us. And sort of the rule of thumb in this idea is we are free to do whatever we want as long as it's consistent with the love of God, the love of ourselves, and the love of our neighbors. Love God and do as you please was a quote that we heard during that week. So freedom is really important to us as it comes to arranging our lives around the freedom. What does it look like for us to be letting go of our anxiety, letting go of the kind of the chains we put on ourselves when it comes to following the rules in that way? The good news, of course, the gospel, this victory, this proclamation that our King has won something significant for us, and we know that that is victory not just over death, that is victory not just over the consequences of sin, but it is victory over the broken life that we live as a result of our lack of freedom, as a result of living outside of community, as a result of not being present with our family. The good news is that we are free from all of that. What does it look like for us to live our lives based on this good news? Many of us have heard this good news before, and we've responded to the good news that Jesus died for our sins, and sometimes we're left with this feeling that that's it. That's as far as it goes. And during the weeks that we talked about arranging our lives around the good news, we talked about how there was so much more good news for each of us. It wasn't just bound up in that one moment, in that one prayer, in that one walk forward, in that one summer camp experience, that there is so much more good news to be had. He continues to want to set us free. We talked about being devoted to our neighbors. more so the love of our neighbors, and how it's impossible for us to give something away that we haven't received. So again, arranging our lives around a life based in good news and freedom and community, it allows us, it actually instructs us on how to love our neighbors. When we receive peace, it allows us to be a peaceful presence to our friends and to our family. When we receive comfort in the midst of pain, in the midst of brokenness, it allows us to extend that comfort to others, to be alongside of them in the ways that Jesus comes alongside of us, this amazing gift of being able to give the comfort that we receive. So arranging our lives around the love of our neighbors. And then last week, we jumped into what it looks like to devote ourselves to our vocation. We talked about how vocation, this word that we usually associate with work, which is okay for us to do, is more importantly and firstly associated with God's call in our lives. The root word of vocation in Latin is actually translated from the same word in the original language of the New Testament, where we were first called the church, the called out ones. And so there's this sense that what we do is so deeply related to who we are. And that your vocation, your calling, isn't about what you do for a living, which knick-knack, paddywhack you put in the bin next to the other thing, whatever you do. It's not about that as much as it is about who you are. We talked about being made in His image, being made on purpose, that the work we do matters and that it matters forever as God continues to restore more fully His creation. We're going to go a little bit deeper in this sense of being devoted to vocation this week. We're going to have a little bit of fun with it, I think, because it's such a difficult thing for us to get our minds wrapped around. In my experience, it's difficult to think about what we do day in and day out as something that is a ministry, that is something that is directly related to what God is doing in creation. But all of Scripture tells us that that's exactly what this is. So we're going to take another look, and this text is not going to be, is it going to be on the screen? Colossians 3, yes, I got thumbs up in the back. Colossians 3, 23 through 24. The context of this is unique. We in church world will often repeat this text without understanding the context of it. It's really in a section of conversation about how now that we are believers, now that we are followers of the way of Jesus, how we ought to live our lives. So it talks about how wives interact with husbands and husbands to their wives and children with their parents. And then the context of these few sentences are actually found in a description of slaves, of household slaves. And right away, you should feel a little, uh-oh, he's talking about slaves, in your spirit a little bit. That's language that tend to be uncomfortable with. So before we go into this, let me explain to you that the word that we translate into slaves there is not the same kind of slavery that we think about when we think about oppressing people, when we think about taking them against their will, this is not the slavery that we're talking about. This kind of slavery found in this context is where a person chooses to become the servant of their master. And it's not just a light and momentary passing choice. Literature on this, some of the historical kind of foundations of this is if I choose to devote my life to my master, I would take my ear and put it against the doorpost. They would stretch out my earlobe and drive a hole through it. Sounds like the most exciting ear-piercing experience ever, yeah? And then there would be a ring that would be put in there. And it would mark me as one who made the choice to be a servant, to go through the pain of having a spike driven through my ear and a ring put in it to mark me. So this is a serious commitment. So this isn't the kind of slavery that we think of when we think of slavery. This is a very, very much so a choice that's made out of commitment, out of love. So as we look at this text very briefly, I just want you to be thinking about that. These few sentences are describing how the slave should behave to the master. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So even in the historical and cultural context of what I just told you, Paul is writing here and saying, even with all of that, the work that you do, what flows out of who you are, isn't specifically for that person who you pierced your ear for. Instead, it is always for Jesus. It is always for the Lord of creation. It is always for the one that redeems you, whose life and way you are now attempting to live into in the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's for the Lord. So all work is God's work. We said that last week. There's a couple of little pieces here that I want to make sure we don't drive too fast as we're going by in this text. Whatever you do, a simple phrase, do it, work with all your heart is for the Lord. Whatever you do, this word do that we find in here has the same root as the word that we looked at last week in Ephesians 2:10, this word poema, which we translated as craftsmanship or workmanship when we talked about how God made us on purpose, that we are his poema. He made us with his bare hands, with a plan, with a mind, with all of his creative energy. This is the same root word. Whatever you do. It's used a lot in sort of agricultural settings outside of the Bible, where we find this word. And it literally means whatever you do, whatever kind of tree you are, whatever kind of plant you are, this is the fruit that you make. Isn't that interesting? Whatever you do, it flows out of what you are, who you are. And I just find that so kind of really cool. Just to find that context, again, in this small section of conversation about the household of believers should run, specific to slaves. Whoever you are, whatever kind of person you are, God made you on purpose, your work, whatever you do, should flow out of that. And then, of course, there's this work at it with all of your heart, and the language there is more about the outpouring of everything that's inside of you. It's sort of this word that we would translate as soul or our very breath. So there's this context of whatever you do, whatever is pouring out of who you are, do it to the extent of who you are, to all of who you are, to your last breath, to the depths of your spiritual center. This is what we are being instructed in here. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart for the Lord, not for human masters. And oh, by the way, this word, this Greek word, when the Old Testament was translated into Greek, this Greek word is the same word used to describe what God did when he created the heavens, the earth, the birds, the fish, the trees, and you and me. All work is God's work. We are made unique on purpose, and what we do ought to flow out of that reality. We have what I think are some fun things to follow up with us to help us understand that more. Again, because I think it's hard sometimes for us in our workaday life, whatever it is that we do, to think of what we do as contributing to the kingdom of God. So we're going to play a video for you right now. And as we do, I'd like to invite the folks that are going to help us in our imagination for the rest of our time here this morning to go ahead and come forward. So go ahead and play that video, John. This is Paul Latimer, who we commissioned about a year ago. He and his family to move to Columbus, Ohio to begin a church plant for us. And so it's a little bit of an update, but I want you to hear, those of you that know Paul, I want you to hear who he is flowing into what they're doing. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Five Stones, this is Paul Latimer. If you've been going to Five Stones for any length of time longer than about a year, you probably remember my wife, Michaela, and I. We moved to Columbus, and you guys commissioned us to do a church plant down here, and I wanted to let you know it's going well. We have about 4 people in our Monday evening life group, which is essentially like a small group where we do a Bible study, have a meal together. And then we also look at the lyrics of a Christian metal or hardcore album to kind of try to find where does God and Christianity intersect and kind of a subculture that I've grown to love and a lot of people down in Columbus have grown to love as well. So what we're doing is kind of atypical in the church planting scene, but we're trying to find a new way to express the gospel to hopefully connect with a new audience who might not have been going to church before they got connected with us. And one of the guys in our life group has actually told me that this group has been his first opportunity in his whole adult life to get connected with a group of Christian people and have Christian fellowship on a weekly basis. And I'm just so honored and blessed that we get to connect with people like this and just really share God's love in a way that needs to be done and reach a people who might not be connected to a church otherwise. So I just wanted to thank you guys for your prayers. I know we haven't done like a video update in a while. We kind of wanted to give some space as we knew the pastoral transition was happening. But now that you guys got good old Bill in there, we love John also. We love John and Bill. But I feel like now that Five Stones is kind of settling, Michaela and I want to do a better job of giving some regular updates of kind of how things are going down here in Columbus with Christ Core Brethren Church. So that's kind of what we're up to for now, and stay tuned because we'll hopefully have more updates in the future. God bless you guys. Thanks.
Jesus is doing in their lives as we go. Who wants to hold this microphone? You can give it to Tammy.
So, as I said a few moments ago, sometimes it's really hard for us to picture what we do as work for the kingdom of God. It's fine for us to have this concept.
Is my mic dead? All right. Oh, no, it just wasn't on. It's hard for us to have this concept.
Good old Bill.
Good old Bill. It's easy for us to hear the concept that all work is God's work and that he made you on purpose and that what you do flows out of who you are. But until, again, we bring it down to our lives, bring it right down and stare it in the face, sometimes it's hard to figure out, do I really believe that? Sometimes it's hard, I call it our redemptive imagination. It's hard to have a redemptive imagination for exactly how that works. So we've asked some of our friends here to play a role in helping us increase our redemptive imagination. And by way of making them feel comfortable, we're going to just ask you to say who you are. And the most embarrassing thing, no, I'm just kidding. Just say who you are and in general what you do for a living. We're going to start there, a little softball, and then we'll come around and then really dig into the depths of your souls, and you can share those with everybody. So, Kenny, if you'd like to start.
I'm Kenny Durr, and I'm usually the old dude that sits up there in the balcony.
The Phantom of the Opera, I've been calling him.
I am a painting contractor, and I've been doing this probably on my own for 20 years, and I've worked for different contractors, so probably a total of 30 years. So that's what I do.
Awesome.
I'm Tammy Webb, and I am currently the Director of Student Services for Ashland City Schools. I've been in education for 30 years in a variety of roles. What Director of Student Services means is I oversee all students with disabilities in Ashland City. I'm also the director of the preschool.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Dale Tomei. I am a local physician. I do
many different jobs. I'm usually up there with Kenny running sound with John, who gets a shout out. John is here consistently every Sunday. And, you know, in addition to that, I'm give him some credit this morning. I also serve as county coroner, so I'm an elected official as well. And Spencer.
How long have you been doing all those things for?
Oh, my gosh, I didn't even think. I've been in Ashland now with my wife 23 years. We'll be celebrating here. We've been married 27. And county coroner last 10. So I've been in my own private practice last. That's confusing, so we'll leave that for another conversation.
I'm Spencer. I have multiple jobs. I am the worship pastor, among other things, here at Five Stones. I also work with a really cool agency in town called Ashland Parenting Plus. We work with teens and families in our county. But I want you to forget all of that for this morning, because something you may not know that I do for work is that I work with horses at this company called Wagers Way. And so we help teens and companies discover things about themselves by working with horses. I feel like that sounds like a joke, but it's not. It's a real thing. And I've got all three of them beat because I've been doing that for 3 years.
Fantastic. Thank you. Let's just give them a hand right now to get some of the, some of the anxiety out of the way. You all completed the first test by actually speaking into the microphone. That was fantastic. Very briefly, what got you into what you're doing? How did you get started, as briefly as possible?
I would probably say starting that was through my father. I had an uncle that was a painting contractor in Wayne County, so it floated down through the family to my brothers and I. I was the only one of the brothers that picked it up as a living. So it was kind of went right down through the bloodline.
Fantastic.
I'm one of those people who always wanted to be a teacher since I was little. So I've done that and then just have moved up through a variety of roles. The superintendent brought me here to Ashland because he felt I could do this job that I'm currently doing. So.
You know, I wish I could say I had a life calling to be a physician my whole life, but I always liked science and liked the intersection of science and discovery. And it was a woman that my mother cleaned for that kind of spoke into me that made me want to follow her path. And she was one of the first female physicians to graduate Ohio State University. So for her to speak into me that says, you know, you have something more. And I just followed that when I went to college, and that's how I got to where I am.
I had a very intense dream about a winged horse that told me. I'm sorry.
Come on, man.
Yes. I stumbled into Wager's Way. We partner with them at Parenting Plus, and I was really changed by the work, and so stuck around and continue to do that.
Awesome. So next softball question. After this one, they're going to get a little harder. What is it that you like the most about what you do? What do you enjoy the most about what you do?
I like what I do. It's satisfying to be able to see people that, like some women, they will be up all night with anxiety, full of anxiety because they can't even pick a color out. So with the experience that I have in that, you know, we can kind of ease their mind, direct them. Colors are good, colors are bad. Some people just get it, some people just don't get it. But what was the question again?
What do you enjoy most?
What do I enjoy most? What I enjoy most is working with my kids, because my brother works with me, both my sons work with me, my youngest daughter works with me, and to see them come to work and enjoy what they do, they're laughing, they're smiling, they like what they do, and that makes me really happy, makes me feel fulfilled.
Awesome.
My youngest daughter was only 2 years old when their mother and I split. So there was a lot of time through there that I missed a lot of their childhood, where now I see them every day, especially
Wonderful.
The little one. So.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks, Kenny. What What do you enjoy most about what you do?
I would say what I enjoy is meeting the variety of people and helping families in just whatever they need assistance with, working with the staff that I have. Just being able to support Ashland, I guess, in the education field.
Thank you.
One of the most desirable aspects of being a doctor is it is, I think, the ultimate service job. You're giving up much of yourself and your family to serve the public and to serve other people. But one of the best jobs, the best parts of the job, are the people invite you into their lives. They share things with their physician that often they don't share with their pastor or their spouse sometimes, and it's a unique privilege. And, you know, the curing's wonderful, and I love internal medicine and GI for the aspect of finding the diagnosis, the elusive diagnosis. I get great joy in that, but it's really the caring where people receive healing.
At Wager's Way, the driving force behind what we do is self-discovery. And so my favorite part about that is when you've been telling somebody till you're blue in the face what you want them to discover, and they just walk around it all day, and then because the horses are there and the way that they work with them, they will like absolutely pull it out of those people. And so when you've seen them interact with these horses and they finally understand what the horse is telling them, or they understand something about how the way they work with the horses is the way they work with people, and they have this aha moment. And then working to translate whatever that experience was all the way back to whatever their deep-seated beliefs are, and how that's driving whatever they're doing, is really an intense and really cool process. So that's my favorite part of it.
Cool. All right, so we've been talking about how what you do should flow, does flow, out of who you are. I'm not going to ask you to start here and go down the line. You can answer as you feel comfortable, but the question that we are really interested in is, how did God make you, and how does that intersect with what you do? Who are you, and how does that connect with what you do? It's a tough question. Spencer?
I think it's very funny that I've found myself in this role, because for the last 26 years, it's been the story of insecurity and uncertainty, and trying to figure out how self-discovery plays a role in that. And so to be thrown headfirst into a role where I'm helping others do that, it's kind of impossible to not encounter that every day in myself. And so I think it's a huge grace move for me, to a constant reminder that everyone's going through that process, and that it's okay to live into that and to try to understand what that looks like for myself as I'm helping these other people do that. And it's funny, because a lot of times there's something that a client experiences with the horses, and I'm like, well, if that doesn't kick me in the face, then I'm lying. And so having to really pay attention to that, not cry in front of clients, and they're like, what's the matter? And I'm like, it's my own stuff, I'm sorry. But yeah, that's definitely why I'm doing that part of what I'm doing.
So a sense that the comfort you've received is the comfort you give, and as you give it, you seems like you continue to receive more.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you. Who's next? So we've said that what you do flows out of who you are. Who are you? How did God make you? Who are you? And how is what you do connected to that?
I think it's 65 years old. I'm still trying to figure that out.
Fair enough.
I think he's blessed me with patience. He's blessed me with the ability to be able to watch people and understand maybe what they're thinking or where they're coming from. And he can put me into positions to where I can kind of like Spence says, he can put me into positions where it's like I can be able to soothe people in their anxieties or whatever. And I think he's just gifted me in those ways where I'm still trying to figure it all out. But it's good because, you know, it's a learning experience for me. Each day is a challenge. Each day you're with different people. And everybody's different. You know, I think he's still working at me. It looks like I'm trying to figure it out.
Sure. Appreciate that. And that's a great word. That this is, much like everything else God is up to in our lives, he continues to reveal himself to us. And I think your hearing continues to reveal us to ourselves along the way. Thanks, Kenny. Who's up?
Yeah, interestingly, in my own personal life, I'm an introvert, where I don't really like being in front of people, but in my professional and work life, I'm very much an extroverted personality. And I think that's the challenges. But part of the grace of that is, you know, although my wife would disagree that I'm a good listener, I hear that from my patients over and over. In my personal life, I struggle in that. And with medicine and with life in general, if you listen long enough, people will tell you what's wrong with them. You don't really have to struggle with diagnoses and what it is. And what's unique with medicine and with osteopathic medicine, which I think the whole allopathic world is adopting, is the sense of touch. That people respond more to your compassion when you just reach out and physically touch them. And it's amazing how in Western cultures we've relied so much and continue to rely so much on diagnostic tests when all people want is you to know that you'll be through that process with them. And I think that's what has continued to be revealed in my job, that, you know, the excitement of making the diagnosis is not what people often are excited about. They don't want that diagnosis. They just want to know that you're there with them.
All right.
And that's where it's at, just being human.
Thank you.
I would say when I say the superintendent brought me to this role, the current role I'm in as director of student services is I don't really have a special ed background. I'm a preschool through eighth grade teacher is my background and have done leadership. And so when he called and said, I have this role available, I'm like, really? I don't know special ed. And he said, you don't need to know special ed, you'll learn that. I need you and the skill set you have as being a leader. And so I think that I have just grown through my roles in leadership, in education, and what it does for me in this current role is a lot of families of 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds or parents who have students who have some troubles, they need someone who can listen, who can be there, who can be on their side. It's a hard world because a lot of the things that people don't like about education come through my office also, so it's not uplifting every day. But I feel like my own personality and the things that God has given me has made me good at what I do and able to help those families who really need someone at that time.
Thank you. So as you're listening, I hope you're hearing, maybe even in spite of them, between the lines, a little bit more of who they are as they describe it. It's really tough to do for all of us. We have to be intentional in listening to God, intentionally inviting him to tell us who we are. He made us with his own hands on purpose so that what we would do would flow out of that. So undoubtedly, you've heard some passion up here, some connection to what they do. And if you just, we didn't rehearse this, but as I was praying for you guys coming up to this day and thinking, all right, God, who are these people made in your image on purpose? What does that look like? I was thinking through my relationship with each of you and how I've interacted with you, some for longer periods of time than others. Dale, when you were talking about how what drives you, you know, beyond the diagnosis, we could really hear your heart for connecting with people, and even beyond connecting with them, your heart for listening, your heart for listening to who they are and for what's going on. And we have this image of God all over in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, all through those places. We have images of Jesus crying out to his Father, and certainly throughout our church history, we know God as God who is intensely interested in the details of our lives and listens to us. He is a God who listens. And so I was thinking about you, like, man, Dale really reflects this part of the image of God. He really listens, beyond just for words, but listens for who the person is. And it's amazing. You listened to me one winter evening as we were together and helped me see what God was up to in my life that actually led to this moment right now. And so I just thank you for that and love to see that image of God in you. Spencer, this sense that you aren't an instructor that's above and beyond everybody. You aren't the expert that's way out in front and just giving knowledge. You're not just imparting knowledge, but you are present in those moments with the people that you're working with. And so we have this image of God who is near, this God with us kind of thing, that you are feeling what they're feeling. You are deeply connecting with these people. And it's an amazing gift. And we can see after listening to you how who you are, how God's wired you up, flows into what you do. And I've actually spent a little bit of time with Wager's Way, not in your presence, but in another context. And I can just imagine that you are phenomenal in that context. Tammy, in my time with you and as I was praying for you, I had this imagery of one who endures for the sake of others. And so this God that has compassion, this God that stays put in the midst of the storms in people's lives, the God that stays put in all of the chaos that goes on and endures. And I think if we've known Tammy for any length of time, we've seen her stay put in the midst of things and be present with all of us. And I just love seeing how that plays out. You said, I do it so I can support Ashland. I do it so I can support these families. I do it so I can be in the midst of these not so great times. But I stay put there, and I'm present there. I think it's beautiful. We thank you for that, the way that God wired you up that way. And Kenny, you don't just see color. You see people. When we asked you what you enjoyed, the first thing you said that you enjoyed most about your job was to soothe anxiety. There's a text in the Old Testament where this woman named Hagar was having a really bad day. She thought both her and her infant son weren't going to make it. And all of a sudden, God intervenes and he shows up. And Hagar says, he is the God that sees me. He is the God that sees me. And we've had some conversations, and you've really been present and zeroed in there. But I love that about you, how you're present, too, in that way. But you are here for me. You are here for us. You're here for your customers. And even more so, this idea that it was handed to you by your family, and you've proceeded now to include your family in this legacy really of restoring and making beautiful things around you. It's awesome to see how that all plays out. Can we thank them for being up there? It's brave to do that. You guys can come on down now. Thank you. Hopefully, as you were listening to them, you were rehearsing some of the answers to those questions for your own life, thinking about what it is that you do, thinking about how it is that God wired you up, and how what you do flows out of who you are. I mentioned at the top of this about arranging our lives around vocation, our calling. We are all called. I mentioned at the top of this conversation that everything that we do, all of our work matters. Bringing clean water and systems to people's lives, right? All of this stuff matters and is directly related to the kingdom of heaven. And so I hope that we've upped your level of interest in yourself and in what you do so that you can explore the convictions of your heart and decide how that should be expressed through your behavior. As the band kind of makes their way back up to close us in some singing out the convictions of our heart, I would say, today, I want to remind you of the very simple kind of ideas of how to arrange your life around your vocation. And the first part is to learn yourself. Made in His image, made on purpose, unique. Learn yourself. And the next step, and this is the hardest one sometimes, maybe learning ourselves is harder. I can't decide. Being myself, being yourself, can sometimes be tough too. Being the painting contractor that actually does more than that, goes beyond that, takes time with the other human in the room to soothe anxieties. Be yourself. Don't be afraid to be yourself. The next idea related to that is to do the good. Do good things based on who you are. Be yourself and let it flow naturally. Do good things on purpose. And that's it. That's it. So as we sort of are winding down this series on what it is that we ought to arrange our lives around, I hope you have been listening. I hope these ideas of the good news, of freedom, of community, of family, of loving ourselves and our neighbors, and of allowing what we do in our everyday life to represent that good news, to represent the beauty of God's creation in and through us. And I hope you're finding more and more ways to live that out every day. Let me pray.